Tape 3, Side 2, continuing.
So I wrote this classmate of mine a note saying that I thought that times had changed, and I had to recognize there was some sensitivity to that, and I thought that the compromise, which the details of which I forget now, but the compromise that the headmaster had chosen seemed appropriate. That did not change my classmates' attitude at all. And when we had a reunion, I think 60th reunion, in 92, we had our 60th reunion. We had a very proud class record of everyone having contributed to the alumni fund from the reunion, but this time we had all but one.
Yes, he felt very deeply.
Oh, yes, he felt very deeply about
it. As a hatter.
When you talked about your brother Paul, you mentioned his wife. I don't think we got the names.
Well, his first wife is Elena, E-L-E-A-N-A, Elena, and her last name was Connolly. And they were divorced about 1948, I think. They had one son. And his name is Cyrus Paul Block. Cyrus coming from Cy Hungerford.
Oh, that's interesting.
Who my brother was very friendly with. And a lot of people think it comes from Cyrus McCormick, but it doesn't. It was Cy Hungerford. Then he married woman named Marjorie, I think her maiden name was Main, or at least the name she used, Marjorie Main. And she died in 1960, and my two nephews are by her. They're identical twins. They were born in 1954. And she died when they was of emphysema when they were about 6 years old. He then married again about, I think it was at least 5 years later. I could be wrong. Maybe it was a little shorter than that. And I don't know whether I ever knew her maiden name, but her name is Mary, and she has outlived him, and she now lives in North Carolina.
And the three boys now, your three nephews.
Yes. Two of them are in the business. The older boy who is Elena's son, he is a cinematographer. He lives in Vancouver, British Columbia. This movie that just came out, Stakeout 2 or something like that, it's a sequel to what was a fairly successful movie some time ago called Stakeout. And this is Stakeout 2. He's the cinematographer for those two movies. He's done several with Katharine Hepburn. A couple that she's made for television, I think. Now he's apparently quite good. He's married, but with no children. Where were we then?
And the twin sons who were in the business.
Yes. They'll be 39 years old on the 1st of October. And John Block is on the editorial side.
In Pittsburgh?
Both Pittsburgh and Toledo. He has the title of editor-in-chief in both cities. He spends more of his time in Toledo, but he's here considerable time. But John Craig is the editor here, and they communicate by phone a good deal. Allan, A-double-L-A-N, is the other nephew, and he is in charge of our electronic division. We have four television stations, three of them quite small. The largest is the one in Louisville, which is on the Fox Not Network. We also own a cable system, three cable systems, one in Toledo, one in Sandusky, Ohio, and one in Monroe, Michigan, just over the Ohio border. So they keep pretty busy.
Yes. Your son Bill's wife, we don't know her name or anything about her.
Well, Carol, her maiden name was Zurheide, Z-U-R-H-E-I-D-E. And her father, George Zurheide, was with the PPG here in Pittsburgh. And Bill and Carol met here. As a matter of fact, rather romantic meeting. We had lent a piece of sculpture to the Carnegie for an exhibit of Art You Live With or something of that nature. This was during the Vietnam War, and Bill was home, I think. I may have the times mixed up here. But anyway, he was home, maybe from law school, and we took him to this exhibit, and he recognized the piece of sculpture we had lent, and there was a young woman standing in front of it studying it, and that's the young woman he met by going up and looking at the sculpture, and they were later married.
That is a sweet story.
And and she's very artistic and an artist herself. She's done quite a bit of work in ceramics and painting and painting on silk and various things like that. She's very versatile. Her father was, as I say, with PPG in the fiberglass division. He was an engineer. And not too long after Bill and Carol met, or maybe after they were married, he left PPG and joined CertainTeed, which is another outfit that makes fiberglass. And the PPG people were very irritated that he left. He was offered the job of chief engineer over there, and so he left and joined them. And PPG, a little bit like the situation of this General Motors man who's left to go to Volkswagen, PPG was afraid that he was taking not the secrets about fiberglass, because that's a very common thing apparently, but that he was taking their special way of manufacturing and some of their shortcuts and some of their mechanical developments that had made them very efficient in doing in making fiberglass. And they were so there was quite a hullabaloo about his leaving, and Certainty finally agreed that he wouldn't be involved in fiberglass. I don't understand what else he would have done, but that was the agreement. Well, he wasn't very happy over there, and they didn't treat him very well, frankly. And so he took early retirement, and he and his wife lived down at in South Carolina near Charleston, Hilton Head. They bought a place in Hilton Head. And then he died, I would say, 4 or 5 years ago. And she has moved and is living with our son and his wife. She's quite a remarkable woman.
Where do they live? Here in Pittsburgh?
Hmm?
They live here in Pittsburgh.
No, Toledo.
Oh, they live in Toledo.
Yeah. And Dorothy Zurhide, Carol's mother, is an expert on Ikebana, on Japanese flower arranging.
Oh.
She studied in Japan. She's been to Japan several times, taken courses there. And she's wild. she's indefatigable in getting in absorbing new things. And she had apparently not been able to go to college when she was young, so she was determined after she was a widow that she was going to go back to school, and she just got her degree at the University of Toledo.
That's wonderful.
And so she's really quite a remarkable woman, I think, with a great deal of energy.
That's great. And your other son's wife?
Don. Don graduated from Yale in 1975 and joined the Peace Corps, and was with the Peace Corps about 2.5 years, and he came back, decided to go to the University of Indiana for a master's degree in English. And there he met Mary Pertl. I think it's P-E-R-T-L, if I'm not mistaken. I'm not good on the spelling of that name, I'm not positive. But anyway, he met Mary, and she was taking a graduate course in library science. And they were married at the end when they each got their master's degree. They were married on the campus of the University of Indiana. We went west to Bloomington, and they've been married now. Probably close to 15 years, 14. They have a daughter, Laura, who is 6 and going into first grade at St. Edmund's this fall, which is where Don went. He went to St. Edmund's, and then he went to Hotchkiss, and then he went to Yale.
What does he do?
Mm-hmm.
What does he do?
He's head of the Greater Pittsburgh Literacy Program.
Oh, yes. Oh, really?
When he left the University of Indiana, when he got his master's degree, it was a very difficult time to get a teacher's job. So he accepted a job in Newcastle, out of the library there, dealing with literacy. It was, I think, state-supported, and it was through the library, and it was for 4 counties, Lawrence County, Mercer, Armstrong, and Butler, I think, something like that. 4 counties. And he worked at that for several years, and then Pittsburgh, which had an all-volunteer literacy program, decided to have a paid executive. And he was hired that time. And he's been on this Pittsburgh job, I think, about 7 years now. And he's built a countywide organization, and it's become a rather large operation now. And they have offices in East Liberty. And as I told him, it's a growth industry.
Unfortunately.
Unfortunately.
Yes.
It's a shame that so many kids leave school and have not the basics of...
I've devoted my whole career to that.
Basic literacy.
I've devoted my whole career to that. And my effort was to find out why. Where was the failure? And how can you adjust the curriculum to meet the needs of that specific individual child, given that child's needs?
It's a tragedy.
It's a tragedy.
And this country is going to... It's going to have a great difficulty if we don't solve that problem. Getting kids to go through school and to become competent. Competent enough to read the instructions that are necessary in a complex world. It's really discouraging when you think that we're competing with rather sophisticated nations that don't seem to have this problem nearly to the degree we have. They obviously have some of it, but we have it in very high percentage. The number of dropouts and the number of adults that
can't sign their own name
that have difficulty. Of course, we are a country that has accepted a great number of immigrants. And obviously, they're going to have, in the older generation, some difficulties with the language compared to the youth. But it's amazing, you know, a lot of immigrants are very hardworking and amazing how fast they pick up the language. I'm sure you're familiar with the Russian immigrants have come in, and I think that they've done surprisingly well.
It's been a very well-designed program
to
help them adjust and to teach. It's a true immersion into our culture.
A guy done an immersion. Wonderful job of having related families who work with families.
Mm-hmm.
Just tremendous.
One of my other volunteer tasks. In each case, with Carol and Barry, are the women working in any, are they?
Well, they're working at civic activities.
Well, fine, then we want to know their involvement in civic activities.
Oh, Carol is on several boards. She's head of the Maumee Country Day School board. She's chairman of that board, which is where her children have gone. They have three daughters. And those three daughters have gone to Maumee Country Day School. And she's been very, very active there. She's also, I think, active on the Public Broadcasting Board. She did volunteer work at the museum, I know, for quite some time, and cataloging. I'm just not sure of all the other things. She's a person of amazing energy. I don't know how she does the things she does.
How old are the children?
The children are, I think 20 is the oldest, and she's going to be a junior at Yale this fall.
What is her name?
Diana. And then Nancy is going to be 16, and her birthday and mine are on the same day. And Nancy's going to have a birthday in September, and she'll be 16. And she is very athletic. She's the only girl on that school's cross-country running team, and I've tried to get her to quit that
and
take up some other sport. I think that's awfully hard on the knees.
And,
you know, cross-country running, I don't know. But anyway, that's one of the things she does, and she loves it. When I say I've tried to discourage it, I talked to her mother about it. I wouldn't.
Not jeopardize that grandpa relationship.
Then the younger one, Catherine, is 10, and she is a pistol. I took her to the zoo recently, Toledo Zoo, which is a fine zoo. Not that Pittsburgh isn't. Pittsburgh has become a very good zoo. But I took her to the Toledo Zoo, and it was a beautiful Sunday afternoon, and it was terribly crowded. Oh, and the parking lot was just jammed. And when we got there, we had to park at the southernmost end of the parking lot. And I said to Catherine, gee, we're parked halfway to your home. And she says, that's hyperbole.
Oh, that's wonderful.
And I had to go back and look it up.
Good for
I wasn't
her.
Sure. I wasn't absolutely sure. I hadn't used that word in so long.
That's wonderful.
She said, that's hyperbole. She's fun. I don't know what she's going to end up being doing, and she seems artistic, but I really don't know. Diana, the oldest one, is quite good at the violin, and has kept it up apparently at Yale, and was good enough to get some rather good instructor there.
Wonderful.
So she's apparently continuing that.
What is her major there?
English.
English.
Yeah, she's told us it's going to be an English major. The man who taught her, I think it was modern literature, some 19th century maybe literature, has just been appointed dean of Yale College. His name is Broadhead. And he was here, made a speech to the Yale group of alumni, and I met him, and I can understand how fond she was of his class. He's a very bright man, quick, and obviously I would think a very good choice for dean. You know, it's quite interesting you're talking to me about Jewish participation in these schools and what's happened in the colleges and so forth. Isn't it interesting that Yale now has a Jewish president? Harvard, I think. Princeton. That's really a remarkable development.
We've come a long way.
It's absolutely remarkable. I wouldn't have dreamed that that was going to be the case. Quite remarkable.
Do your children and grandchildren have any religious affiliation?
I'm not familiar with what's been done. I know that Don, through St. Edmunds, got interested in the Episcopal Church. And has become, I guess, a member. And I think probably Laura is getting educated in that fashion. I don't know about the others. I really don't know. Is it? But I have to say that I think that there's been a lot of wandering away from roots, which may be bad, I don't know.
Well, I think it's a loss to the Jewish community that the children don't feel an affiliation for us. It's our loss.
Yeah, in a way.
As well.
I certainly have no belief in the idea that Christ was the Son of God. I mean, that's not believable to me. And so, you know, Christianity, which so much is based on that, has very little appeal to me. Now, when Don showed a considerable interest in the Church of the Redeemer there, where St. Edmund's is, I attended with him. I took him to church. But I never, in all, while I enjoyed some of the sermons, I never really could indulge in the sacraments and all that. I couldn't do that. It was not interesting to me, not acceptable. Now, I admire people who can believe these things and who are inspired to an ethical concept that is good. But the Jewish religion certainly is a much more logical religion, one God and so forth. And of the so-called Christian, Unitarianism is very much like Judaism. I mean, it's sort of a bridge there. And it's much more believable to me. But I have to say to you that I'm religious in concept, in believing in treating people as I would like them to treat me. In charity, in ethical conduct. Those all parts of, I think, my bringing up and my father and mother's influence. My father had no particular interest in formalized religion. And I suppose I inherited some of that feeling. And that may be my loss. I don't know. So I have not been an attender. I have not attended synagogue or anything like that.
I'd like to invite you to our informal Saturday morning services. Not the formal ones, but the informal ones where we sit around in a circle.
Where is this?
At Temple Sinai.
At Sinai.
And this is early in the morning.
Is that the one on Wilkins?
On Forbes, as it curves around.
Oh, at Forbes.
Around the golf course.
Now, is that a reform?
That's reform.
Yes.
I see.
It is even more reformed than my temple, Rhoda Shoal.
I don't know.
Yeah?
I don't know.
It's about the same?
I don't think so. I mean, I don't see it that way. But our services are just about 30 of us who sit
services.
Around. About 30 of us who sit around, and then we study Torah afterwards, because
mm-hmm.
you don't really know what Judaism is until you
mm-hmm.
delve into it to
right.
see what the teachings are. And I find in my old age, that it's revealing. I'll invite you when we start again come fall. Speaking of which, your father, you said there was service for him at the temple.
Emmanuel.
Yes, and he was buried at the Kensington Cemetery. Is that a Jewish cemetery?
No, it's mixed. It's mixed.
Okay, just.
I think the Ox family has a mausoleum there, if I'm not mistaken. Adolf Ox.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure of that, but it's a mixed cemetery. It's up in Valhalla, New York, not far from White Plains. And did I call it Kensington?
Did I write it down?
I think so.
That's what I have down in my notes.
I think that's the name of it. Yes. I drive up there whenever I'm in New York, because it only takes about, really, with the modern roads, unless the traffic is very heavy, only takes about 45 minutes to drive up to the cemetery. And my mother built a very nice mausoleum there.
End of tape 3, side 2. To be continued on tape 4.